Times are changing drastically every day as we face the worldwide impact of COVID-19. More than ever, we need to be reminded to lift our eyes to the Lord, who alone remains constant. Join Pastor Bob Gretzka as he encourages and reminds us of the unchanging truths found in God's Word. Now let's join Pastor Bob Gretzka.
Well, welcome to Renew FM again. As you just heard, my name is Bob Gretzka, and I join you again tonight for the 6 to 7 p.m. hour from the studios here in Fitchburg. For a time, really looking into the hope that we have in the midst of, again, this mess that we're still in with this COVID-19 crisis. You know, people are still really searching for hope and peace. A lot of hearts are really turning and hurting and unsure of what lies ahead, what's next. And, you know, it's kind of cool that things are starting to open up. And yet, because we've been shut down for quite a period of time, that brings a little bit of fear as well. So, and truthfully, some people are just tired of it and just want to get out and be done with this for sure. You know, I think a little bit of all of that kind of hits all of us. So tonight, again, we just want to take this little bit of time and really remind you that God is still in control. He has not changed. His word is still living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That he loves us immensely, and that he has a good plan. So tonight, I'm joined over the phone by two gentlemen from the Springfield area of Massachusetts, Pastor Don McGrath, who pastored a church in the area for several years, and Nate Beck, who is a town selectman and an actual major in the U.S. Army Reserves as well. You know, these two men came together a while ago, about 5 years ago, and started a ministry called Abraham's Heart, giving tours in Israel that are much more than a tour. I had joined them about a year ago on one of those tours, and it includes so much with ministry and interacting with both the Jewish people, the Palestinian people, and, you know, it's just amazing some of the things they do as they reach out, and the opportunities to just watch God work and his word come to life. So tonight, we're going to talk a little bit about this, and I just wanted to welcome Pastor Don and Nate. Welcome.
Well, thank you. We appreciate you having us on, and we're excited about just being with you, Bob. It's always great to hear your voice and to just be with you.
That's great to have you, for sure. And Nate, I just wanted to have you each, if you could introduce yourself a little bit for our listeners, just so they didn't have understanding of where we're coming from, who you guys are, and what your roles are.
Okay. I'll go first. My name's Don McGrath. I have been really a pastor in time past for almost 20 years, including about 10 years as a Calvary Chapel pastor in Western Mass. And right now the Lord has allowed us, myself and Nathan, to begin a ministry of bringing people to the Holy Land. We named it Abraham's Heart, and I'll let Nathan explain a little bit about why we would call it that. But we have been leading trips to the Holy Land since 2015, with basically small groups. But we have just been so blessed by the Lord to be able to not only tour the land, but also have opportunities to minister in many different venues and support some of the things that God is doing over in the Holy Land. And so it's been quite an adventure. We're truly excited about the possibilities of what God has allowed us to be a part of. And, well, we had somewhat of a delay, anyway, mm-hmm. We actually should have been in the Holy Land for our fifth trip as we speak. However, the COVID-19 pandemic kind of put an end to that, but one thing that the Lord impressed upon my heart was in Proverbs chapter 16, mm-hmm. verse 9, it says that a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Mm-hmm. And it's obvious that the Lord has redirected our steps, many of our steps, during these pandemic days, just to follow a different path. But we really rejoice in the opportunities that he's given us. And even though we are not able to be in the Holy Land at this point, we're able to share with you over the Renew FM network, and we're grateful for that opportunity. So the Lord's working things out, and we're just excited about what the Lord has planned in the future.
Mm. Amen. That's awesome. Nathan?
Yeah, so I'm Nathan Beck. I was born in Springfield, Massachusetts. I've grown up in Western Mass my whole life and came to faith at the age of 19. And that was, I'm 45 now, so that was a long time ago. But yeah, I've just fallen in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have learned about how much God loves me, amazingly. And had a chance to kind of grow in my faith over all these years. And I also had a chance to go spend some time in the Holy Land. I took my first trip over there as a college student with InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, great organization. And they exposed me to the situation in the Holy Land. So I ended up going back for my master's degree. I studied at a small American school called Jerusalem University College. It's an evangelical, English-language, American-run school right in the heart of Jerusalem. Amazing experience. And so I got to study the Bible in the land of the Bible, which is a fascinating thing to do. You read about something that happened 3,000 years ago, and then you get on a bus and you go there, and you take a picture. Like, wow. You know, and then you do that again and again. And so, I got to do that over an extended period of time while I earned my master's degree. And eventually I said, you know, I can't, I'm so spoiled. I can't keep this to myself. So, I partnered with Don and we have started organizing trips to the Holy Land so that people can come to the land of the Bible to see, maybe people have been going to church and reading the Bible for years or decades or their whole lives in Sunday school. And this is a chance to kind of go and see where it all happened and actually see it in person. Yeah. So that's just something that I've enjoyed partnering with Don to be able to do, to bring these trips over.
Nice. So. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I totally agree. And I'd like to be one to thank you for not being stingy with that, because I was very blessed to be able to join you guys on that trip a little over a year ago that we went on. That was just totally amazing.
It was, and it was a blessing to have you as well. And thanks, thanks for coming with us. And I think really our trips, and I've been on different kinds of tours around the Holy Land over the years, and I really believe our trips are, and not to pat myself and pat Don on the back, but I really think that we take a different. We go off the beaten, as you know, Bob.
Yeah.
We go off the beaten path, and we get a chance to meet some folks that, some people who do ministry, and we get a chance to do ministry ourselves. We get a chance to volunteer. We get a chance to sort of have a more personal and intimate experience in the Holy Land than just simply getting off a bus, taking pictures, getting back on the bus, and that's all. We do that too, as you know, but we also add in the human factor, which is a powerful part of our experience.
Yeah, the interaction with the different people, the different churches we've been to, the people that are serving at schools, and all the different things that we were able to do just made it so much more fuller of a trip, for sure. Absolutely. So I had a quick question for you. Start with Don. Pastor Don, what would you say to our listeners? With all the stuff going on for these past few months, what would you encourage them with? Maybe a word or something to just help them refocus with these past few months?
You know, I think the most important thing is to realize that God is sovereign in everything that happens in our lives and in the world, and to remember that this didn't take God by surprise as it did most of us. Mm-hmm. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And I've been blessed by listening to the Brian Broderson in the mornings as he's shared about the life of Joseph and how Joseph just really had so many experiences in his life that he didn't plan and that were really very difficult for him to try to maneuver and trust God through. But I remember reading through that many years ago and seeing over and over again the phrase, "The Lord was with Joseph." And I think that's a key, just recognizing that God is with us in this whole pandemic and in everything that happens to us. We can trust him that he's going to provide for us, that his grace is sufficient for any and every need that we have, and that his presence will be with us. And that makes all the difference, I've found. And, you know, he says that, you know, the birds of the air, they don't worry about what they're going to eat or, you know, what they're going to be clothed with. The Heavenly Father feeds them.
Yeah.
And perhaps this is just a time for some of us to be able to say, okay, Lord, I'll have to trust you for my daily bread.
Yeah.
I know I've been in those situations, and it's not a nice place to be where you're just really wondering where the next meal is going to come from. But we've seen God provide in miraculous ways as well. So sometimes God allows us to get to a point where we really need him so he can show us how powerful and how wonderful and how great he is in just loving us and showing us his goodness.
Yeah, amen. Amen. You know, through the trials and tribulations is certainly a time when he draws our attention back to him instead of the stuff of the world, our own stuff, our own ways, and you know, those idols that can get in the way. And yeah, boy, he took those completely out of the way, right? Our jobs, the sports, you know, the television, all the stuff that we get so stuck into. It's like, okay, let's push that all aside for now. Look at me. You know, come
Amen.
To me. Yeah, that's awesome.
Amen. Amen.
Nate, I had a quick question for you, I guess. You know, you have quite a few different experiences, different things going on. You have a pretty diverse life, I guess, as far as being, you know, with the city selectmen and within the reserves and all this. I imagine this pandemic has kind of affected a lot of your life in a lot of different ways. I'm just kind of wondering, what have you had to do differently?
Oh, well,
everything.
That's a great question. So I'm still in the Army Reserves, and which means that I'm a civilian, you know, 28 days out of the month, and then for 2 days I put on a uniform and go do some training or some kind of activity with the military. And, yeah, the last couple of months, all the training has been happening by computer. That's one of the decisions that the generals made, is that we're still going to take care of our people and make sure they get paid, even though we don't want them coming together to train together because it's too risky. So that's one thing that's changed for me is doing my Army Reserve weekends on the computer and on phone calls and that kind of thing. And then as a town councilor, right, we're in budget season right now. And so we've been holding our town council meetings and our budget meetings by Zoom, just trying to meet with department heads and go over the budget for the city of West Springfield, because the fiscal year starts July 1st. We have to vote on this budget in June, we've been conducting our meetings by Zoom. So definitely things, a lot of Zoom meetings, a lot of staying at home and getting work done at home. But we adjust. That's kind of, you know, that's it's as Don was saying, we trust in God he provides for us. When we have a plan and we have a path and we think we know what's going on, I think I can certainly say in my life over the years, God likes to trip those up and change things up. And it's like, well, wait a minute, Lord, I thought this was where I was going. And then he closes the door, but he opens another door. So as we kind of struggle, this is, you know, okay, we're facing this worldwide pandemic, this worldwide kind of shutdown. Even talking on the phone to our tour operator in Bethlehem over there and asking how he and his family are doing, and they're doing the same thing that we're doing, staying at home, not going out, things are closed. So Israel is doing the same thing the United States is doing, and we're all trying to figure out, okay, how do we get through this pandemic without getting sick, and how do we pay the bills when it's hard to go to work?
Yeah.
It's a matter of, just saying, okay, Lord, you know, I pulled up Joshua 1:9 while we were talking. Mm-hmm. He said, and God says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Amen.
And I just think that's an encouraging word that, you know, he never promised to make our lives easier.
Mm.
What he did promise is that he would go with us.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, it gives us a completely different perspective when we realize that. That he's going to walk
right
through whatever the trial is, whatever the difficult time is. It's interesting.
Right.
I was looking at Psalm 34 with that same thought in mind. And what should our attitudes be like during that time? And just the first few verses, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And that's just one of those things that shouldn't change, right? Whatever the circumstances, whatever we're going through, whether it's incredibly, we feel greatly blessed and everything's going wonderfully, or when the world around us is somewhat questionable and we're a little unsure and on shaky ground,
Amen.
We should still be the
Amen.
Same. Awesome. Yeah. You know, so the U.S. is starting to watch some of the numbers decrease a bit, you know, the deaths drop off, the counts for that. We see things improving a little bit. You know, when we look at other countries, some of them have done better than us, some not better than us. Certainly, you know, Israel, it seems, has done pretty well. And with Abraham's heart bringing people to the Holy Land, you know, the spread of the virus seems very contained there. They've done a really good job with that. So I guess with that, how does that affect the tours? Now, you said you would be there right now if it weren't for this, but it seems as though you've got a little time before you're going to actually be able to go back.
Right. Well, you know, when we first heard of this, the COVID-19, we thought, well, it'll pass. We don't have to worry about it. And little did we know that that wasn't going to be the case. Mm-hmm. And I think the first thing that really clued me in was I heard a report that they had closed all the hotels in Bethlehem, and we stay in Bethlehem. So we had to rethink our whole agenda at that point. And they are working to really contain that. Of course, Israel is really their government is on top of things in many ways, and so. In some ways, that's really helpful for us because many times people are concerned about safety. I've had people really, you know, be aghast that we are going over to Israel because it's in their minds so dangerous over there. But we have taken 5 trips and have never even had any kind of inkling that things were not well under control and no issues at all. Mm. Certainly, it's an interesting dynamic over there with Jews and Palestinians and Muslims all kind of mixed together in that area. Yeah. So there's it's very interesting to experience, but we have never had any problems with any kind of danger or anything like that. So it's, and I'm sure that they are going to really be on top of the COVID-19 whole pandemic situation.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they had, before even the United States, they had required anyone coming into the country to go in a 14-day quarantine.
Mm.
So we know that they're taking as many steps and precautions as we would, and we'll trust that as we plan our next trip that things will be back to some semblance of normalcy, and we'll be able to enjoy the Holy Land once again.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, and I'm sure a country like Israel relies pretty heavily as well on tourism. I mean, it's a place where everybody in the world wants to go at some point anyways. And so I'm sure they are right on top of that as well, that this is something they want to get cleared up and open the doors again and allow people to come in and visit and see you know, things that are so amazing to so much of the faith.
Hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we did, you know, kind of consider that, well, if we have a 14-day quarantine, our 10-day trip is going to be looking at the walls of a hotel room. So we're not going to get very far with that. Looking forward, I mean, the airlines actually canceled the flights that we had before. Because of this COVID situation, they have flexible rules about rescheduling, and so we were able to push forward a full 10 months. And if it turns out that the COVID is kind of like the flu, where it has a season, so hopefully in March, as we're hitting spring, we'll be coming out of any kind of flu season. And if they haven't found a vaccine by then, and so on, so. I expect that we'll be able to go in March. We'll have a great experience. January's the rainy season. It snows for us, it rains for them. Once the rainy season kind of tapers off, by March, it doesn't rain again until the next winter. And then in the summer it's really hot, so March is actually a really good time to go because you're past the rains, but it's not blazing hot yet. We expect the Israeli government is very much on top of all those kinds of things, whether it be health from a disease like COVID, or whether it be the security situation, as Don talked about. They're a very efficient and effective government that they have in place, and their different, Ministry of Health and their armed forces and their police and so on. So, yeah, it's a very safe society, and we've had terrific experiences over there on all of our trips. And it seems like every trip we had, somebody was worried or someone's family member was worried, about going over there. And then those are the people who have the best experience of all.
Yep, true.
And say, wow, this is amazing, the air, clean air, right, on the Mediterranean, just good food. I have to say, they eat a lot better than we Americans do. The food is fresher and so on. So anyway, it's a good spot to go to. And we're looking forward to this COVID thing passing so that we'll be able to head on over there.
For sure. I've been over there several times myself, mostly for work. The only time I actually was able to take a real tour was with you guys a year ago, but every time I've been there, it's always felt very safe and a very a great atmosphere. You definitely people friendly, able to do a lot, to get around easily, and everybody speaks English as well, pretty much. And it's a very simple, a great society for sure. But coming back to this idea, with the stuff that we've gone through here and around the world with this COVID-19, I guess I just wanted to put this question out. I guess we'll start with you, Don. What is one of the most important or best things that you've seen or experienced during this time that you would like to see continue after the COVID-19 is done?
Well, I've seen a lot more people coming together for prayer and for fellowship over the internet. And, our church in particular has Zoom prayer meetings every morning and every evening, besides our regular times where we would get together during the week.
Nice.
And so that has really drawn us together in some wonderful ways, and we've just seen God do some awesome things. And so part of the benefit of this whole COVID-19 situation has been that it's really drawn many people closer to the Lord, and through the technology that we have, it's drawn them closer to one another. And we've seen God just do some awesome things, and we've seen many answers to prayer, and just hope that'll continue, because it's really been a blessing for so many.
That's awesome. How about yourself, Nathan?
Yeah, I agree completely. I don't think I knew, 6 months or a year ago, I don't think I knew what Zoom was. and now, I turn on The Tonight Show, or Saturday Night, whatever. Any of these shows, they're using Zoom to have shows because the people can't even come to work, to make TV shows. They're using Zoom. Mm. So, yeah, no, I love the fact that we do have the technology these days to connect that way. Mm. And from what I understand from some friends who homeschool. Or actually, maybe I should say I've been forced to homeschool in the last couple of months, that some of the Christian homeschool folks have kind of offered their materials for free in this emergency situation where all the Christian schools are closing and the kids are suddenly home so that people can get through this period. And so maybe this is just a time to try something new that you never tried before. Trying learning in a different way. I mean, I have to, I always prefer learning in a classroom as opposed to sitting at a computer, and interacting. But I think it's a great way to explore new ways of doing things and connect and the ability to connect with people far away. I have to say, just point out, here's a great example. So I'm a member of the Rotary Club in West Springfield. And we usually meet on Tuesday for lunch, and it's just a bunch of business people and different people from town get together and have lunch together. And obviously we're not able to do that for several months now. Mm-hmm. But we've also partnered with another Rotary Club in India, and we've raised money for them to help buy cows for families to provide, for their families and so on. And we've done a project every year for some 15 years that we partnered with this club in India, and it's been a wonderful thing. But it's one guy in our club who has that connection. Well, just last week we had a Zoom Rotary meeting where half the people on the Zoom were West Springfield Rotarians and the other half were Shimoga, India Rotarians. And finally, we actually got to meet each other and talk to each other. Even though we've been, as clubs, we've been partnering together for years, we finally had a chance to see each other face-to-face and get to know each other. So that was really neat. So and that probably would not have happened if we weren't forced to use Zoom and forced to use the computer. Yeah. So I think, this is, it's anything we can learn from this experience is sort of the unique ways to use technology to have new experiences that we can take with us even when things start to open back up.
Amen. Yeah, yes. That's beautiful. Go ahead, John.
Also, Bob, one of the things that's really blessed me is to see how many opportunities there have been that the gospel is going out in so many different venues. Yeah. I think even of the national news broadcasters. I've seen several times where Franklin Graham is just on there giving an invitation to trust Christ, and what a blessing that is.
Yeah,
to know that millions of people are just being fed the gospel, and we'll just—I believe there's going to be a great harvest coming up soon.
Amen, amen. Yeah, these are great opportunities, guys. These are great things. I appreciate your just sharing some of these things. I mean, Matthew 5, we're told to be the light and the salt, right? You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. And then he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And that's what it's all about, right? So I just awesome to share those opportunities and the things the Lord's putting before you as you do that. We have a break coming up in just a moment. But I just really appreciate you guys just sharing some of these things that are, taking a time that God can use for good. What looks like a mess when we turn our hearts and open our hearts to the truth and allow the Lord to direct us. It's amazing what he will do and how we will transform that time and use it for good things. So that's just awesome. We'll be right back after this break, and we'll continue on with our pastor from Springfield and as well with Nate out in the Springfield area. So we'll be right back after this break in just a moment. Thank you. So.
Yep. All right. We made halfway.
Yeah, halfway there.
All right. Hey, Bob, okay, so, maybe we could... Thank you.
Welcome back. My name is Bob Greska, and I'm here with Pastor Don McGrath and Nate Beck from the Springfield area of Massachusetts. And we've just been talking a little bit about one of the ministries that they are both involved with called Abraham's Heart. And I want to get into that in just a moment, but I just wanted to start off. One of the things we discussed earlier is just truly being able to give thanks to God in all situations. You know, we have an amazing Father who's still in control of all things. He loves us immensely, and he is always good. So I was looking at Psalm 75. He says, "We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks, for your wondrous works declare that your name is near. When I chose the proper time, I will judge uprightly. The earth and all its inhabitants are dissolved. I will set up its pillars firmly. I said to the boastful, 'Do not deal boastfully,' and to the wicked, 'Do not lift up the horn. Do not lift up your horn on high. Do not speak with a stiff neck, for exaltation comes neither from the east nor from the west nor from the south. But God is judge. He puts down one and exalts another.'" You know, God is amazing. He's in control. He loves us immensely. He has a good plan, but it's his plan that we need to listen to, not our own, not our own desires and what we want to do so much. He redirects our path. And Pastor Don was mentioning that a moment ago as well. You know, the fact that they, with Abraham's Heart, would be in Israel today if it weren't for this pandemic. And yet God is using it for great things, as some of the things they've just mentioned a moment ago. So I just want to come back to mentioning, again, Abraham's Heart. So, Nate, you mentioned Abraham's Heart. We're wondering, again, where did the name itself actually come from?
Yeah, so, like I said, I got to spend some time over there, and I got to know both Israelis and Palestinians, which is to say Jews and Arabs, and amongst Arabs there are both Christians and Muslims. And so it's kind of a, you know, it's a place of tension. It's a place with different communities living together. And so we kind of think of one group versus the other. And when I was reading through Genesis, and I was struck. Now, I always knew that Abraham loved Isaac, and, you know, he was called to sacrifice him and stopped at the last moment, and you know, he loved his son Isaac. But I was reading through Genesis, and I was struck by how much he loved his son Ishmael. Mm. And he, you know, I'm just looking here at Genesis 17, verse 18. Abraham said to God, "If only Ishmael might live under your blessing." You know, I think we all know the story that Abraham and Sarah weren't having any children, so he took one of Sarah's servants, Hagar, and to have a child through her. And then once Sarah had Isaac, then it became a fight between Sarah and Hagar, and Sarah was jealous and get Ishmael out of his house and so on. We've all gone through things in our families and our lives with jealousy and struggles and so on. It's kind of familiar in that sense. But Abraham loved both his sons, and that really struck me as I was reading through Genesis. And as we know, Isaac ended up becoming the father of the Jewish people, and Ishmael became the father of the Arabs. Mm-hmm. We call our organization Abraham's Heart because here Abraham is. Here's this man who was, you know, had a deep relationship with God and fell in love with God and you know, met the one true God, and also loved Isaac, who became the father of the Jewish people, loved Ishmael so much, who became the father of the Arabs. And so our desire is that people would come on our trips and fall more deeply in love with God, fall more deeply in love with the Jewish people, and fall more deeply in love with the Arab people. Mm. And there are so many groups out there that kind of will say, "Oh, come and meet the Israelis, or come and meet the Palestinians," and they'll kind of pick one side against the other. And that's not Abraham's heart. You know, that's not our heart. I don't think that's God's heart. I think we need to love the Jewish people. I think we need to love the Arab people. We call our organization Abraham's Heart because it's his chance to go over to fall more deeply in love with God and then meet the people who live in the land today from all the different communities and fall in love with them as well.
Awesome. Amen. Yeah, that's beautiful. Yeah, and I know having experienced that, we certainly see that with both sides. You know, that we're able to truly love and minister to each. I know there's different things that you guys do, different ministries you have, both within the Palestinian area and within the Jewish territory. So maybe Don, Pastor Don, could you explain maybe a few of those things that you actually do?
Oh, sure. One of the real highlights of our trip has been that we've been able to partner with I call it a miraculous school that God has raised up in the little town of Bethlehem. You go there, and Bethlehem, for the most part, is not a very nice looking city. Mm-hmm. It's kind of run down. The economy there is very, very poor for the most part. And you go out of town a little bit, and you see this complete K-12 modern facility that's brand new that God miraculously raised up and provided all the money for because one couple basically prayed that God would provide that for them. Their name is the Doolittles. And so we were actually able to, in our 2015 trip, go there and minister to them as they were just getting started. They had K-3 through first grade. They had about 30 or 40 little children. And we were able to minister there for two mornings of our trip and put on a kind of a mini vacation Bible school with them. Mm-hmm. And what a blessing that was. And every time since then, we've been able to have a ministry in the Bethlehem Evangelical Academy. Mm-hmm. And it's been many people say that's one of the highlights of our trip, just to be able to see how God is raising up in that town where Jesus was born and where Herod murdered so many little children, innocent children, mm-hmm. where God is raising up right now a tremendous school that's teaching and preaching the Word of God. And bringing many, many of these Palestinian children to Christ. Mm. And so we're just blessed to be able to be a part of that. And we have helped them in many ways. They're unable to get English-speaking books, English books. And each trip that we've taken, we have asked people to – we were allowed two suitcases each, and we ask people to use one for their personal items, and then one we either pack with books for their library or supplies for the Bethlehem Evangelical Academy. That has really blessed them as well. So,
I have to say, just watching, I was able to do that time we went last April, and just watching Jeff and Gada minister to these kids and the staff, and just love these people, were absolutely incredible. They were completely tireless. They worked so hard, and it was just awesome to see, that they were so focused on sharing the Lord Christ and such an example to those around them. It was just beautiful.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Jeff is a gifted teacher, and God has really blessed that ministry in tremendous ways.
Mm, yeah.
So,
now, there was another ministry we went to as well. I remember in Haifa, we went to one that was a church that ministered to people that were released from prisons.
Yeah, maybe Nate can share a little bit about that.
Awesome.
Yeah, so they call their ministry the House of Grace.
Okay.
And that's a Israeli Arab Christian family. It's kind of an amazing story that we get to hear from the founder's son, who now runs the program. Mm. And that's one of the things actually that Don and I both do. Here in Western Massachusetts, is we're both involved in jail ministry and helping people turn their lives around and, get out and learn to follow Christ and be renewed and get a second chance at life. And so that's something that both Don and I do, a ministry that we're involved with here. And so it's great. What's one of the places we bring our groups is to see someone who's doing that over there. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, they've got a sort of an old church building that they converted into this. It's still a church, but it's also a ministry where people with nowhere else to go. And in the Middle East, one of the aspects of the culture there is they have sort of an honor and shame culture, a little bit different than what we're used to, kind of a guilt and innocent culture that we have in America, and they have an honor and shame. And one of the worst things you can do is bring shame to your family. Mm. And so people who have been locked up over there oftentimes they'll come out and they have no one to turn to because their families will disown them. And so here is a ministry that says, we're going to give you a place to stay. We're going to help you find a job. We're going to help you get reestablished in society. And we're going to help you turn over a new leaf. And so that's one of the places that we're able to stop on our tours and just hear about that ministry. And they've expanded their ministry not only to folks that are kind of getting out and looking to turn their lives around, but also to the teenagers and children of with parents, for instance, who are locked up. They give them programs to keep them busy and focused on the right things. And so, yeah, that's a beautiful ministry that we get to visit, and as part of our visit to the Holy Land.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's incredible. Yeah, that's quite a ministry. Yeah. Just to hear how things came about, how it works, and like you say, such a difficult thing to get people reintroduced to society, coming from prison, and such a stigma that comes along with it, and finding work and a place to live has got to be just incredible. And certainly even more so in a place like Israel, the Middle East.
Exactly. It's bad enough here. It's even worse over there.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
Bob.
Yes.
We also had a chance to partner with a couple. Their names are Larry and Bess Herzegow. And they're actually missionaries out of Calvary Aurora.
Mm.
And they have started a ministry in Jerusalem called the House of Compassion.
Mm-hmm.
And in Israel, you're not really encouraged to spread the gospel as we would know it. It's very restricted. But they're over there. They're native Jews, mm-hmm. and so they have citizenship there. And they've begun this ministry of just ministering to people, and in that context, they're able to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so, we were able to partner with them, and have a little opportunity to minister in Jerusalem in that way. Mm-hmm. And so, we try to kind of keep a balance between the Israeli and the Palestinian groups. We want to try to minister to and be exposed to both sides.
Mm.
And so,
yeah, that's one of the things I love is the balance there. You get to see many different aspects, and even being at different churches and being able to sit down and talk to some of the people there too. We went to a church one day in the center of Jerusalem, and it was very much like a modern church today here in America. Really, not much different. The same type of worship, the teaching, all of it. And then we were also in Bethlehem at a Christian church there. And amazing, just brothers and sisters in Christ. And just well done, taught well. The kids, I remember the kids' ministry was really beautiful. They put on a play and they did an incredible job with it. So awesome to see, for sure.
Yeah. We do try to get the local experience as best we can. What one of my favorite places to go, both when I was a student studying there, and then we also go as a group on our tours, is Sukkot Hallel, which is in Hebrew it means the house of praise, and it's a 24-hour prayer center where we go and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And the neat thing is they have a whole worship area set. They have big bay windows, you may remember, Bob, overlooking the Temple Mount, overlooking the Dome of the Rock and that beautiful
That was incredible scene. View. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And they have some worship stuff there that I'm no musician, but Don usually gets up and picks up one of their guitars and leads us in worship. Mm. And that's just a chance where we can just pray together and praise God together and worship together. And that's just one of the neat places that, the big groups, with 50 people on a bus, there's no way you could visit that. But we take our groups there because we have smaller groups, and we're able to experience that time of just prayer and praise and praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yeah, that was incredible. I totally agree. I mean, that was one of the things that really quite a highlight for sure, being able to look over the old city of Jerusalem while you're sitting just across the valley from into the new city. and just sit there and pray and worship God. And, you know, I was just thinking of, you know, again, Psalm 139, one of my favorite psalms that just talks about the personal aspect of God's relationship with us and how incredibly intimate he is, you know, where it just starts off with, "Oh, Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You're acquainted with all my ways." And it just goes on talking about the intimacy of him. You know, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. And you come to like the middle of it where it just says, "You form my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well." And you come to the very end of it, and he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And it's just incredible to be able to sit there in a place like that prayer room over Jerusalem, or right here in your own living room in a time of trial and unsurety, and just truly call out to the living God who cares so deeply for us and knows every hair on our head, knows what we're feeling, what we're thinking, where we're going, when we get up, when we get down, go down, you know, every single bit of our lives, right from the very beginning until the very end when we're right before his throne. He's so intimate.
Amen.
Yeah, it's beautiful, huh? We have an amazing
Amen.
Father.
Amen. Yeah, you know, there was one other ministry that wanted to mention.
Yeah.
There's a ministry called Nusalaha, which means in Arabic, it means reconciliation.
Mm.
And that is headed by a man named Dr. Salim Manayer. And basically, his ministry focuses on getting young Arab believers in Jesus and young Israeli believers in Jesus, and getting them out and away from everything, and just helping them to see that they have a unity in Christ where, you know, I mean, they look upon each other as enemies. And so it's really a wonderful ministry where he begins to just bring these people together. And we know that really the only way that there could be a lasting peace there is when Christ is in the center of it. So.
Yeah.
We're just grateful to be a part of that, be able to be a part of that ministry of Nusalaha as well.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, it's great to have that for sure. The unity, the bringing back together, you know, the oneness is amazing. Again, I think like Galatians 5 where he says, "I say then walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The lust of the flesh is the flesh lust against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And that they're contrary to one another. And it's really difficult because there's just this war going on within ourselves, you know, our spirit and our flesh. And how much more so with another person and with another community and something that we just don't understand very well. And it's just battling. And yet that same, you know, that same chapter in Galatians 5 goes into the fruit of the Spirit. And what does that look like where it's totally different? But the fruit of the Spirit is joy, you know, love, joy, peace, suffering, I'm sorry, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, just such a different deal when we walk in the Spirit, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and he directs and leads us. You know, it's incredible. I guess I think of, just as another question, you know, we want so much more for ourselves, and we know that the Lord wants much more for us as well. So how do we, in this time, not return to the same place that we were in before all this began, before the virus came? And how do we not get back to that same place, but move on forward with our relationship with Christ and the things he wants us to do? I guess let's start with you, Nate. Any ideas?
I think it's, I mean, this is a time, I think we're all having different experiences. So for some of us, this is a time to slow down and we get to kind of think a little more or read a little more, whereas normally we're running around, running to work, running to different activities. Now I know other people may have the experience where the kids are home and they're going crazy. So, but if you are having the experience where, you know, where things have slowed down, then this is actually a great opportunity to dig into Scripture, to spend more time in prayer, and to really just kind of, you know, reflect on our relationship with God, each kind of individually, And this is a wonderful time. You know, that's one of the things I tell the guys who are locked up when we do our jail ministry is, hey, look, you know, you got a roof over your head, you got three meals a day, you know, and everything's paid for. Get some books and make good use of this time, you know, and grow in your faith and learn. And then when you finally get out of here, you'll be better prepared, not worse prepared, better prepared to move forward. So I think that we're kind of all experiencing, a time where we're kind of locked up in our homes. We can really make the best use of this time to sort of grow in our faith so that eventually, you know, this COVID thing passes, we can come out stronger. And I actually, you know, I think of another one of the ministries that we visit over there is the Bethlehem Bible College. Yeah. And that's that's on the Palestinian side. And one of their ministries that they do is because they speak Arabic as a native tongue, they also have an internet ministry where they minister to Muslims who come to Christ in the Muslim world, in the Arab world, different countries, through the internet, and they're able to disciple and minister to secret Christians who maybe they don't tell their families or they don't tell their society because they'll get in big trouble. But they're able to grow in their faith. They're kind of locked away and turn on the computer and study the Bible. And so, I mean, I just think it's kind of a parallel. You know, we can do it. We're not forced into a sort of an oppressive situation like that, like in some of these Muslim countries. But even in this COVID situation, you know, it's a chance for us to sort of say, okay, you know, I'm going to make the best use of this time. I'm stuck at home. I can't go anywhere. But it's a chance to take an online class or to read the Bible and to really grow in our faith, to sort of dig into some of the questions of the faith and come out stronger on the other side.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Don, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, you know, Bob, I've just discovered that no matter what our situation would be, you know, some people are really, you know, they've had to struggle with even coming down with the COVID virus, and some people have lost their jobs and they're really struggling financially, and others, you know, just have different issues that they're dealing with. I think the Lord has allowed this so that we would look to Him and realize that He is the one that is our ultimate provider, and He is the one that is our protector. He's the one that can bring us to good health, and His grace is always sufficient for us, whatever the situation that we're dealing with. And I just I know that I've gone through some things and just fallen more deeply in love with the Lord because of those things. And I think the thing that really motivates us is that when we taste and see how good the Lord is, then we just want to keep on keeping on with that.
That's right.
And so we're just grateful for that.
Yeah, amen. We've only got a minute or two left, but just wanted to, again, from Proverbs 3, I just think, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And it's interesting, we remember that part, but then it follows on with, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. And that's just awesome. Don, I just wanted to give you a last word. What would you say to somebody maybe who's walked away from the Lord or is kind of doubting their salvation at a time like this? Any words of wisdom for them?
Well, I believe that, this time of the COVID-19 pandemic has really kind of shook people up and to realize, wow, you know, life just isn't going to go on like it has been, forever. There's going to be some pretty difficult things to go through. And I hope that they'll find that their answers and the things that they're really searching for are found in the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Awesome. Thank you so much. I absolutely appreciate that. Last scripture just to finish us up is, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And, you know, we have a great Father. So, guys, I really appreciate your time tonight. It's been awesome. Thank you for sharing so much.
Well, thank you so much, Bob. We really appreciate it. And God bless you.
God bless you.
Alrighty.
You've been listening to Renew FM, and we're so blessed you could join us tonight for our live broadcast here with Pastor Bob Greska. We pray this time encouraged you and helped lift your eyes off the chaos of the COVID-19 crisis and unto Jesus, who remains on his throne and who also is with you right now in this very moment. Join us Monday through Fridays from 6 to 7 p.m. You can also call Renew FM at 888-310-PRAY. But most importantly, we want to remind you that you can call on the Lord and receive the encouragement you need from his word at any time. We invite you to join us next time on our live broadcast. And until then, good night and God bless you.